नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे पश्चात्तादिशुतान शील प्रभुपाद की हरे कृष्ण. So as Gauranga Prabhu mentioned that this morning we had a session on Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. How many of you were here in the morning class? Okay, how many of you are not here in the morning class? Okay, so I'll briefly discuss about what we discussed in the morning. The first thing that I discussed is about why the Lord came to perform His pastimes. And why, who is Ravan? And why Ravan got into a conflict with Him? Actually, the personality who Ravan is a great devotee of the Lord. He's a resident of Vaikuntha. What's his name? Two brothers who are the two gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay. Jai and Vijay felt that the Lord was not getting to experience the mellow of chivalry. The mellow of chivalry is experienced out of fighting. Like by the warriors, by fighting with an opponent, derive a great pleasure. And that pleasure is called the mellow of chivalry, or in Sanskrit it's called Vira Rasa. And in Vaikuntha, who will fight with the Lord? In Vaikuntha, everyone knows that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone in Vaikuntha is a devotee of the Lord. So who will ever dare to, or who will ever want to fight with the Lord? Therefore in Vaikuntha the Lord doesn't get this opportunity to experience this mellow of chivalry or biraras. So Jai and Vijay intended, they wanted, if they could let the Lord experience this mellow. And as soon as they wanted, the Lord could understand what He wanted. And you know what is the wonderful quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Whenever His devotee desires something, the Lord fulfills that. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Jai Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shri Shri Ram Navami Mahotsav ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Samabeta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande. So, whenever a devotee desires something, the Lord fulfills that desire. So, Jai and Vijay wanted to give Him the pleasure of experiencing the mellow of chivalry. So immediately the arrangement was made. What was the arrangement? The four Kumaras, the first four sons of Lord Brahma, who looked like just 5-year-old boys, although they were the personalities came next to Brahma, we can say they are the oldest of the people in this universe, but they look like 5-year-old boy, and they move about naked, like 5-year-old boys in India, 4-5-year-old boys, and they used to move about naked. So they move about naked. So seeing them, Jai and Vijay obstructed their way, didn't allow them to enter into Vaikuntha. As the gatekeepers, they stopped them, and these four Kumars became very upset that these residents of Vaikuntha, those who are supposed to be completely pure devotees, completely spiritually situated, they are judging them according to their external appearance. So they felt that these people, these two persons, are not fit to remain in Vaikuntha. So they cursed that you fall down to the earth planet. You fall down to the material nature. So they cursed Jai and Vijay. And at that time the Lord also appeared there just to pacify his guest, these four Kumars. And the Lord, on behalf of his servants, begged forgiveness from them. And they actually, he said, you have done the right thing, you have cursed them. But then the Lord asked Jai and Vijay, look, you have two considerations. You can go to the material nature, but if you remain my devotees there, then you have to stay there for the 7 lifetimes. But if you become my enemy, then you have to be there for 3 lifetimes. So Jai and Vijay decided to take a shortcut. So they said they opted for 3 lifetimes as the enemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of that, in Satya Yuga, this Jai and Vijay appeared as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Then in Treta Yuga, they appeared as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. And in Dwapar Yuga, they appeared as Shishupal and Dantavakra. They also appeared another time, but that was not mentioned in the scriptures because then the Lord's identity would become revealed. But the purpose of Lord's coming on the 4th time in the Kali Yuga was hiding his identity. And in that pastimes of the Lord, these two personalities' identity also was kept as a secret. They came not only 3 times, they actually came 4 times, but in the 4th time, they got promoted from gate of Vaikuntha to Golok Vrindavan. So who are they? Jagai and Madhai. So this is how Ravan and Kumbhakarna came, 2 brothers. Born in a very exalted family. They are the sons of a Brahma Rishi. But from their childhood they develop demoniac propensities. They are terribly powerful and they were extremely envious towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they are extremely envious even to their relatives, those who are enjoying some superior facilities. Like his own brother, he became inimical towards him. His half-brother was Kuvera. And Ravana attacked him and defeated him. And Ravana achieved some special power by pleasing Lord Brahma. He performed great austerity to please Brahma. And what he was doing, generally people offer the oblation in sacrifice. Their swaha. Generally they put ghee or grains. But what Ravan was offering, he was offering his own flesh. He was cutting the flesh and swaha. Idang brahmaya na mama. But still Brahma didn't come. So finally in utter desperation, he was about to chop off his own head and offer it to the fire. We can see that these characters are extremely determined. Even the demons have some good qualities. But demons are demons. Actually, demons have many good qualities. Ravan was an exponent in Vedic scriptures. Ravan was an expert in chanting the mantras. Ravan was expert in performing sacrifice. But why Ravan is a demon? Who will tell me? Why Ravan is a demon? Because he did not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this way we can see that no matter how qualified a person may be, if he does not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto Him, he becomes inimical to the Lord, then he is identified as a demon. One may not accept the Lord out of his ignorance. That is understandable. They are called innocent. They don't know the Lord, therefore they are not surrendered to the Lord. But when they get to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and when they get to know about His glories and greatness, then they surrender unto Him. So that is the qualification of a devotee. Even an innocent can become devotee in proper association. But the demons, the more they hear the glory of the Lord, the more inimical they become towards Him. So Ravan pleased Brahma. Finally, Brahma came and asked Ravan, "Ravan, what do you want? What do the demons want?" Demon wants to become immortal. That is another characteristic of a demon. They want to become immortal. So Brahma said, "Look, I can't give you that boon. I can't fulfill that desire of yours because even I am not immortal. In this material nature, everyone is mortal. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityur, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Whoever is born is bound to die." Then Ravan said, "Okay, then give me the boon that I won't be killed by any demigod, I won't be killed by any demon, I won't be killed by any Rakshasa, I won't be killed by any Gandharva, I won't be killed by any Kinnara." And he named everything, everybody, all species, except human beings and animals. Because he thought the human beings are so insignificant. Who cares about them? But that was a loophole that was kept there. And then Ravan, then he became extremely powerful. And he started to wander around the world, defeating everybody. The demigods were defeated. And he defeated even his own brother, who was the king of the Jakshas, Kuvera. Half brother. And then he took away his kingdom. Lanka was actually Kuvera's kingdom. Ravan snatched it away from him, and Ravan also took away his Pushpakra Viman, a spaceship, but a very, very wonderful spaceship. That spaceship could accommodate any number of passengers. If there was one passenger, it will be of the size just to fit one passenger. If there were 100 passengers, it will expand and accommodate 100 passengers. Not cramped up in like sardines, but enough space. And in this way, Pushpak had the facility to expand to any extent to provide any number of passengers. For example, after defeating Ravan, when Ramchandra was about to return to Ayodhya, he had this chariot, Pushpak Biman, and Ramchandra decided to take all the monkeys. So how many monkeys were there? Innumerable monkeys. They all fitted in that Pushpak Biman. And not only that, when they are flying above Kishkindha, the kingdom of the monkeys, then Sita Devi said, "Look, let's take their wives also." So their wives also were accommodated in that. So this is the capacity of Pushpak. And Pushpak can move with the speed of the mind. That wherever there was no steering or joystick to ride. Like the Pushpak Viman flies with the will of the driver, charioteer. Like, he can say, I want to go to the moon planet. So just Pushpak Viman will take him there. So that is how wonderful this Pushpak Viman was. So Ravan became extremely powerful, and as a result of that, when somebody becomes extremely powerful, extremely wealthy, extremely influential, and if he does not properly utilize his wealth, power and influence, what is the outcome? Natural outcome? Do you know what is the natural outcome of not properly utilizing these facilities? You start to accrue, you start to earn sinful activities, sinful results. Because when people become extremely powerful but do not become submissive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his false ego becomes inflated. And as a result of that, he starts to commit sinful activities. So that is why it is always safe to be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, we run the risk of committing sinful activities and offenses, and the result of those offenses come in the form of suffering. As it happened with Ravana, although he was extremely powerful, but he started to acquire sinful activities to his credit. And few mistakes that Ravan made was, one day Ravan was flying above the Mount Himalayas, Himalayan mountain, and there he saw in a valley, beautiful valley, there's a beautiful woman. But she was looking like an ascetic. And he became curious. I mean, what's this single woman doing here? And he became attracted to her beauty. And so he approached her and he proposed that, what are you doing here alone? Are you married? Then she said, no, I'm not married. But I wanted to have Vishnu as my husband. That's why I'm performing this tapasya, austerity. So Ravan proposed, why do you want to waste your time waiting for Vishnu? Come with me, become my queen. I'm the most powerful person. She said, please, get lost. The Sanskrit word she used is, go your way. Go your way. It's also kind of saying, get lost. And leave me alone, go your way. And so then Ravan became very upset. And finally Ravan tried to forcibly molest her. So he caught her by her hair. And this lady was so powerful that she cut her hair with her hand. Just she passed her hand, and this is how she released herself from Ravan's grip. But she said that this body has become contaminated by your touch. This body is not good enough for Vishnu anymore. So I'll give up this body. But I tell you that I'll come back again. And I'll become the cause of your death. And by saying that, she generated a fire from within herself. And she gave up her body. Burnt her body to ashes. Another mistake Ravan did, he was flying with his Pushpak Viman. All of a sudden, his chariot came to a halt. And he couldn't understand why it came to a halt like that. And then a personality appeared who had a very powerful body, dwarfish, very powerful looking, but he had the face of a monkey. And so he very politely said, look, this is the region of Lord Shiva, so please don't come here, go your way. And he said, who is Lord Shiva? And why should I listen to his consideration? I am Ravan, I can go anywhere I want. And besides that, who you monkey faced want to say things to me where what I should do? So at that time, this servant of Lord Shiva, whose name is Nandi, cursed him that since you insulted me, calling me monkey faced, monkeys will be your greatest enemy and they will destroy you. They'll be the cause of your destruction. So another mistake Ravan did was when he was in the heavenly planet, he came across an extremely beautiful celestial damsel. And he approached her. And this lady told that, look, I am going to meet my husband, so please leave me alone. But Ravan forcibly molested her. Her name is Rambha. She was the wife of Nala Kuver, the son of Kuvera. In that relationship, she was actually Ravan's daughter-in-law, his nephew's wife. But Ravan molested her. So she approached her husband. But Nala Kuver didn't dare to do anything because Ravan already defeated his father. So he knew Ravan was too strong for him. But he gathered all his pious activities together and he cursed Ravana that if you ever try to molest a woman against her will, then your head will crack into 1,000 pieces. So these are the reasons why Ravan was actually creating his own destiny for destruction. In a way we can say Ravan was digging his own grave. So this Vedavati, the woman who was performing austerities in Himalayas to get Lord Vishnu as a husband, came as Sita Devi. And it is because of Nandi's curse that demigods actually took birth as the monkeys, extremely powerful monkeys. It was actually the order of the Lord Himself. When Vishnu decided to come to this planet to annihilate Ravan, then He also told the demigods to come. He said that without giving up your celestial responsibilities of maintaining different affairs of the universe, you all take birth through your expansions. You expand yourselves on the earth planet as monkeys. So these monkeys were born and they were extremely powerful. Like as you heard, like right after his birth, Hanuman, feeling hungry, his mother went to look for some food for newborn baby. Most really the monkeys don't breastfeed their babies. So she went to look for some food. And Hanuman, feeling hungry, when he saw the sun in the sky rising, he thought it was a nice little fruit. And he jumped. And see, so powerful that he jumped to swallow the sun. And the sun became afraid. He started to wonder that this is not the time for Rahu to come. So why Rahu is coming in such an untimely way to devour me? And he took shelter of Indra, and Indra hurled his thunder, Vajra. And as a result of that, Hanuman lost his senses and he fell on the ground. And his jaw was broken. And he was dead actually. And seeing his son dead, Pavandev, the lord of wind, became so upset that he took the baby, went to a cave, mountain cave, and he stopped his business of controlling the air in the universe. And when the air stops, what happens? This is not just ordinary air. Even if you consider, if there is no supply of oxygen, what will happen? Everyone will die. So the condition became extremely precarious. So then all the demigods came. I said, Pavan, what happened? What happened? And then Pavan said, what happened? He said, see, Indra killed my son. Just newborn baby. So I decided that I won't perform any duty. You all decide how you're going to arrange the affairs of the universe. But without Pavan's support, the universe was coming to a dead halt. So then all the demigods revived Hanuman. And different demigods gave different powers to Hanuman. Indra gave the power that thunder won't do anything to him. Brahma gave the power that Brahmastra won't work on Hanuman. It will work only for the time being, only for a short while, and then there won't be any effect. And so this is how different demigods gave different powers to Hanuman, and Hanuman became extremely powerful. Now can you imagine a little boy got such inconceivable power, and the little children are mischievous? So Hanuman was extremely mischievous, so he started to cause a lot of problem to the sages in the forest who were performing austerities. So they went and approached Brahma, please do something about it. This little boy is causing so much disturbance to our meditation and sacrifice. So then Hanuman, then Brahma said, okay, he'll forget about his power. He won't remember that he has this power. Only when Lord Ramchandra will come, then he will remember his power. So until then, Hanuman was not really aware of his power. And you remember, Jambavan actually reminded Hanuman, Hanuman, you are so powerful. You jumped and to swallow the sun. And then it occurred to Hanuman, yes, I can do it. So this is how, in the service of Hanuman, in the service of Lord Ramchandra, Hanuman's power actually came back. So this is how, so Hanuman, these different demigods came as the monkeys to support Lord Ramchandra in his pastimes. Now another thing is that the Lord performs his pastimes. Does it really need him to come personally to take care of the demons? Not really. His Maya Shakti, Mahamaya, can take care of any demon. Lord doesn't have to come himself. But then why does he come? This aspect is there, Vinashayacha Dushkritam, but what is the principal cause of his coming? Paritranaya Sadhunam. In order to protect his devotees. Again, protecting his devotees is not his main business. Not to protect, but to experience the loving exchange with his devotees, that the Lord comes. So that is why the Lord came. Lord Ramchandra came to give his personal association to the demigods who appeared in the form of the monkeys. Why did Lord Ramchandra go to the forest for 14 years? Yes, apparent reason is that he was cursed. But what is the main reason? Where do the devotees of the Lord were at that time? In the forest. So to give his association to the devotees and to derive the joy of associating with his devotees, that the Lord went to the forest. So in this way the Lord went to the forest and spent 14 years just giving pleasure to his devotees. And Paritranaya, he was actually killing the demons even when he was in the forest, and he was, the Rakshasas he slaughtered left, right and center. And in this way the Lord came to perform his pastimes. And the wonderful pastimes is, as you all know, Sita Devi was stolen by Ravana. This is also one thing we discussed this morning, that Lord's pastimes are like a drama. In a drama, You see, anyone who knows about drama knows that drama means conflict. There is not a drama without conflict. If there is no conflict, it won't be a drama. Then it will be a documentary. It is the conflict that makes a drama a drama. And more the conflict, better the drama. And this conflict takes place with, there is the hero and there is a villain. And in the middle, the heroine. So the Lord's pastimes, and Lord is the hero, the demons are the villain, and Lakshmi Devi, Lord's eternal consort, is the heroine. And Ramchandra's pastimes is a perfect drama actually. Mahabharata is a perfect drama. In Mahabharata, of course, the Lord is not the hero. His devotees are the heroes. The Pandavas, especially Arjuna. Heroine is Draupadi. And villain is Duryodhana and his associates. So this is how the Lord actually performs his pastimes. And by performing his pastimes, he enjoys and he allows his devotees also to become submerged in an ocean of ecstasy, ocean of joy. In Damodarashtakam, do you remember the third verse? You all chanted during the month of Damodar. What is the third verse? Iti driksha lilabhir ananda kunde shaghoshang nimajjantam akhappayantam. Iti drik, in this way, performing his pastimes. Iti drik shwa lilabhir ananda kunde shaghoshang nimajjantam. He drowns his devotees. Saghoshang means his devotees. Nimajjantam means drowns. He drowns his devotees in ananda kunde. Ananda, bliss. And kunde is a pool or reservoir, or you can even say ocean. He drowns his devotees in a pool of ecstasy. So this is the purpose of Lord's pastimes. And you will see this pastimes, through this pastimes, the Lord himself enjoys, and those who take part in the pastimes, they enjoy. Those who witness the pastime, they enjoy. And those who even hear the pastimes, they enjoy. Just like you are doing. Are you enjoying or are you getting bored? Okay. So in this way, the Lord, by performing his pastimes, drowns his devotees in an ocean of ecstasy and ocean of joy. Iti driksha lilabhir ananda kunde shaghoshang nimajjantam akhappayantam. So that is why the Lord comes to perform his pastimes. And the conflict becomes intensified. Like first, different personalities are placed in different, playing to different roles. But ultimately we can see that all those who are taking part, they are actually devotees of the Lord. Like we see the demons, those who are playing the roles of demons, they are two devotees, the biggest demons, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna. Just by hearing their activities, our blood starts to boil, doesn't it? Like so abominable is their activity. But actually, they are two devotees. That's also another quality of a good actor. You know what's the quality of a good actor? Bombay is the land of acting. So I'm sure you all know. The land of Bollywood. The quality of a good actor is that he or she forgets herself and becomes that role. And who is the best actor, you know? Krishna himself. That's why when he plays the role of a cowherd boy, he's the perfect cowherd boy. And he forgets that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A good actor forgets himself and becomes that role that he's playing. So Joy Vijay forgot who they are and they're playing that role. Perfect demon. And you know, in these pastimes of the Lord, who is the director or directress? Jogamaya. She is the director, she is the casting director. If you want to take part in Lord's pastimes, you have to be casted by Jogamaya. She will give you the role to play. Without Jogamaya's mercy, there is no way of entering into Lord's pastimes. So, that's why we take shelter of Jogamaya. And so, Ravan became extremely powerful. He defeated all the demons, all the demigods, all the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, all different. And the demigods approached Lord Brahma. Said, please do something about him. He is impossible. He is causing so much distress to this universe. Everyone is in utter anxiety due to him. So then Brahma said, yes. When he said that actually the only person who can actually deal with Ravan is the Lord himself. Now, does the drama becoming, isn't the drama unfolding now? Why did Joy and Vijay come to the earth material nature? To fight with the Lord. They wanted to give him the pleasure of chivalry. So now they came. Right? So the Lord has to come now. The opponents have come to fight with him. So the Lord has to come. So the arrangement is made. Brahma then told the demigods, the only person who can actually deal with them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Vishnu. So they approached Vishnu. And Brahma reminded that when he gave him the boon, he actually left one loophole open. And that is, he will be susceptible to the human beings. So my Lord, please take birth as a human being. And in the meantime, King Dasharath, who did not have any son, performed a sacrifice to get a son. And as a result of that sacrifice, the Lord agreed to come. So you see how all the bits and pieces are coming together to create the perfect scene. So the Lord needs to come as a human being. Dasharath performs a sacrifice to the Lord to have a son. So he was the most qualified candidate to appear as his father. To appear as his son. So Dasharath had three wives. From the sacrificial fire, a celestial personality appeared with a bowl full of nectar, sweet rice. And he gave it to Dasharath and said, give it to your queen. Dasharath had three queens. So he divided this nectar to half. And he gave one half to his first queen, Kaushalya. And he gave the other half to his favorite queen, Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi and Kaushalya decided to give a part of their share to the middle wife, other wife, Sumitra. And as a result of that, Lord Ramchandra appeared as the son of Kaushalya, Bharat appeared as the son of Kaikeyi, and Lakshman and Shatrughna appeared as the twin brothers of Sumitra, twin sons of Sumitra. But they are who they are? They are the Chaturbuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Vasudev came as Ramchandra, Lakshman, Sankarshan came as Lakshman, and Aniruddha, Pradyumna came as Bharat, and Aniruddha came as Shatrughna. And they grew up in the royal palace of Dasarath as the most favorite sons. And they all were endowed with all divine qualities. Naturally, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And anyway, then now let us go to some different parts of the thing, pastimes. Ramchandra was banished to the forest for 14 years. Dasarath decided to coronate Ramchandra as the successor to the throne. Dasarath was already quite old, and so he decided that let me just coronate Ram as on the throne. And just the decision was made so abruptly that the next day was supposed to be the coronation of Lord Ramchandra. At that time, Bharat was not there in Ayodhya. He was in his uncle's house. And Kaikeyi was not informed in a haste that Ram was being coronated. But Kaikeyi was naturally very happy. So when the news was brought to her by her maidservant, who was the chief of her maidservants, a hunchback woman called Manthara, that Kaikeyi became so delighted to receive that news, immediately took off her necklace, a solid diamond necklace which studded with gold and, beautifully studded with different gems on gold, and she just gave it to him for bringing that good news. But Manthara's reaction was very strange. Manthara threw away that very, very precious necklace and said that, "You stupid woman, you do not know what's happening to you. It is not the time to rejoice that Ram is going to become the crown prince. The thing is, when Ram becomes crown prince, your Bharat will be reduced to his servant. And you won't have any importance. Now you have so much importance as the dear queen, the favorite queen of Dasarath. But when Ram becomes the crown prince, then all the importance will go to Kaushalya. And you will be reduced to a maidservant of Kaushalya. Ravan will not even look at you." So in this way she started to vitiate Kaikeyi's mind. And so finally Kaikeyi's mind was so much vitiated, and she was so affected by her treacherous advice, that she also started to think in this way. As I said, look, what a wonderful drama, isn't it? So she asked, "Well, but what to do? Ram is the natural successor to the throne, because in the Vedic culture, the eldest son inherits the wealth of the father. He's the natural successor." But then Manthara reminded that, "Look, when Dasarath was fighting with the demons on behalf of the demigods, he became very, very wounded. Very wounded during the battle. And at that time you took care of him. And you cured him and brought him back to life. And at that time Dasarath wanted you to give some boon. Two boons he wanted to give you. He asked you to ask for anything. But at that time you said that, look, What do I need? You have given me everything. But Dasharatha told you, okay, in future if you want, someday, if you want something from me, you can remind me, you can get that from me. So Manthara said, now is the time to ask for the boon. And what should you ask? Your first condition will be that instead of Ram, Bharat should become the crown prince. Bharat should succeed you in the throne. And for 14 years, Ram should be banished into the forest. And that is what happened. Kaikeyi, she went to the sulking chamber, displaying her and then Dasharath came looking for her, and he found that she took off all her ornaments, she took off her beautiful sari, and she was wearing just an ordinary piece of cloth. And Dasharath asked what happened, and then she revealed her mind, that, remember Lord, remember my Lord, you wanted to give me two boons, and I want these two boons. What are those two boons that you want? I want Bharat to be the king. And I want Ram to go to the forest for 14 years. Dasharath couldn't believe his ears. He thought, he told her, that Kaikeyi, you must be joking. You can't want, you don't want that. Because Ram is so dear to you. You never seen any difference between your Bharat and Ram. Sometimes you haven't displayed more affection to Ram than to Bharat. And how come you want something like, something so terrible like this? And then Ramchandra, then Kaikeyi told him in a very, very cruel way, no, this is what I want. When this news went out, the seniors of the family and their Kula Guru, Vasishtha, even told Kaikeyi that, Kaikeyi, this boon is going to be the cause, this what you are asking from your husband is going to cause him to die. You will become a widow. Please don't ask for such a boon. But Kaikeyi was adamant. And eventually, although Dasharath didn't want, Dasharath finally said that, I'm not going to fulfill your promise. I'm not going to fulfill my promise. Let it happen to me. But I will not fulfill your, I will not grant this desire of yours. Even though I will be subjected to deviate from the path of truthfulness, still I don't care. But when Ram got to know about it, and when he heard that his father is even considering to refuse to grant this wish of Kaikeyi, then Ram stood his ground. He said, no, I will, or rather, I cannot let the words of my father go in vain. For the sake of establishing his father's truthfulness, Ramchandra decided to go to the forest, letting Bharat be the king. But then we see, Bharat, when he got back, he got so upset hearing that. In the meantime, his father already died. When Ram left, due to his separation from Ram, Dasharath left his body. And Bharat, the messenger was sent to bring Bharat. And the messenger didn't tell him what happened. They said that there is some urgent business in the kingdom, so you have to come back. So Bharat came back. And when he came back, then he found, generally his father would greet him when he came home, but this time he didn't see his father. So he questioned, where's father? where is Ram Lakshman? And then he got to know what actually happened. That Ram went to the forest just for his sake, his mother's treacherous plan. And he was so angry with his mother, he just started to blast his mother. He went to Manthara and started to hit her on his hunchback. And so this is how the whole scene turned into a very tragic turn. And then Bharat decided to go and bring Ramchandra back. So he went to the forest, met Ramchandra. But Ramchandra refused to come. So Bharat actually came back. When he could not bring Ramchandra back, he made Lord Ram stand on a pair of wooden shoes. And he brought those shoes back to the kingdom to let these shoes of Ram be placed on the throne. And he could not even live in Ayodhya, because Ayodhya was so many painful memories, full of so many painful memories of his father, of his brothers, Ram, Lakshman, of Sita, that he couldn't stay there. So he shifted his kingdom capital at that time to Nandigram. And there he started to rule the kingdom from there as a representative of Ram, placing his shoes on the throne. So this way we can see such wonderful exchanges of loving relationship through these pastimes of the Lord. And it has been mentioned that actually for Bharat, the austerities that Bharat performed that for those 14 years was more severe than the austerities of Lord Ramchandra. Because Bharat started to live like an ascetic, like a forest dweller while residing in the palace, while taking care of the affairs of the kingdom, while managing the kingdom. But he was living like an ascetic. He did not wear proper clothes. He did not wear proper clothes. He was wearing tree barks. He did not, he had grown his hair matted like an ascetic. He slept on the floor with no beddings. So that's why it has been said, Lord Ramchandra was in the forest and he was leading the life of an ascetic. It was quite all right, quite easy for him. But for Bharat to lead the life of an ascetic in the palace was far more difficult and far more austere for Bharat. So in this way, sometimes it is said that in Ramayana, Bharat's character is actually the most brilliant one. Such detachment, such righteousness, and such respect for his elder brother. And another personality who is also brilliant in these pastimes is Lakshman. When Lord Ramchandra came back after defeating Ravan, killing Ravan and rescuing Sita, everyone was glorifying Lord Ramchandra for his wonderful achievement. At that time, Rishi Agastya, sage Agastya, he said that no, actually the credit goes to Lakshman. So everyone started to wonder why. The killing of Ravan, it's Ram who killed Ravan. It's Ram who rescued Sita. So why are you saying that actual credit goes to Lakshman? Then Agastya revealed that actually Ravan couldn't have been killed had Indrajit not been killed. And only Lakshman could kill Indrajit. Because Indrajit had the boon that he would be killed by somebody who has been a brahmachari for 14 years. And who did not eat anything for 14 years. So the point came up that an ideal brahmachari doesn't even look at the face of a woman. So Sita was there, so for this 14 years Sita was there, so how can one say that that Lakshman was a brahmachari for 14 years? So then Agastya said, yes, Sita was there, but Lakshman never looked at her face. His eyes were always fixed at her feet. And then Ramchandra admitted that, yes, that's true. Because when the monkeys in monkeys showed the ornaments that Sita dropped, and Ramchandra showed them to Lakshman and said, Lakshman, do you recognize, aren't these the ornaments of Sita? Then Lakshman said, look, I can recognize only one thing, her anklet, or whatever it's called, that ankle ornament that she was wearing around her ankles. And Rama asked, why can't you recognize any others? So Lakshman said, because I always looked at her feet, so that's why I can recognize only that ornament. I don't recognize any other ornaments. Then Ramchandra questioned, but what about 14 years? You said that one had to be an anahari. One did not eat anything for 14 years. But every day I used to give Lakshman a fruit. So he took the fruit. So how can you say that he was anahari? So Agastya then said, why don't you ask Lakshman? What did you do with the fruits? So Lakshman said, yes, brother, you gave me the fruits, but you said, take it. But you never said, eat it. That's why I took the fruits and gave it back to the forest. So Ramchandra said, Hanuman, by the touch of Lakshman's hands, the fruit has become in the imperishable. So these fruits must be there in the forest. So you go and count the fruits. So bring all the fruits that Lakshman kept back in the forest. So Hanuman brought all the fruits, and they counted, and they found 4 fruits are missing. So Ramchandra said, so that means for 4 days you have eaten the fruits. Lakshman said, no, my dear brother, on those 4 days you forgot to give me the fruits. The day you got the news that father left his body, the day Sita was kidnapped, the day I was struck by Shakti, and another day I forgot. So then Ramchandra said, yes, that's true. And that's why at that time Ramchandra said, look, as appearing as a younger brother, you had to go through so much difficulties. So in my next pastimes, you will become my elder brother. And that's why in Dwapar Yuga, when Lord Ramchandra came as Krishna Chandra, Shankarshan became his elder brother, Balaram. Jai Shri Ramachandra ki. Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Ram Navami Maha Mahotsav ki. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal ki. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.